Turning our attention to fish and fishing here on the Ideas Network, Gary Engberg, our guest, professional tournament angler, fishing guide. He's an avid conservationist and sportsman, advocates for getting kids involved in the outdoors, and has done a lot of work in that area. He's got a blog at GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, and Engberg is spelled E-N-G-B-E-R-G. So GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, and of course he's got a nice website as well. So I hope you'll take a look at it, and I hope you'll come in with your questions and comments. Do you fish? What do you like to fish for? Where? Who first took you fishing, maybe? And have you introduced young people to fishing? Have you some questions or a great fishing story? You know, I'll always love fishing stories. So if you got a good fishing story, we'd love to hear that as well. At 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can join in there as well. Maybe you've got a good fish picture that you can share with us. We'd certainly love to see that as well. So put that up on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Gary Engberg, welcome back.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here, Larry.
Oh, man. Unusual spring weather.
To say the least.
Yeah, and that's really affected the fish and fishing, hasn't it?
It's affected about everything. I mean, anyone you talk to, I mean, we're talking about in our area alone, you know, we're 3 weeks to a month different than what we should be. I mean, we have the turkey season opening up this week, and normally, you know, the first season is not so good, but now it's like starting the third season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the foliage you find out in the woods, I mean, we're talking about, we had good fishing the end of February, beginning of March, when the weather was so warm. We had water temperature at one time, I think 3 weeks ago on Lake Wisconsin, I had water temperature close to 60 degrees. Now we're back up into the upper 40s.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the fish understand what's spawning and what's going on, but, you know, you get your fish moving. You know, we get some warmer weather. The sun comes out. It warms things up, gets your food chain moving, and gets your bugs starting to hatch. And then all of a sudden it gets down to 25 degrees. So these fish are moving in and out. Normally they should be in relatively shallow water right now, but they're moving back out deeper. And I think they're waiting for things to get steady and kind of, you know, get back to normal, let's put it. But, I mean, we've broken about any record you can mention. You know, if you talk to any meteorologists or weather people, they'll tell you that, you know, since we've been keeping records, you know, this year has been a real doozy.
Yeah, it sure has. David in Madison has a question for you. Dave, hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you, Larry. Gary, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I'm interested in wade fishing for smallmouth bass in southern Wisconsin. Do you have some places that be easy to get to that I can just wade from shore?
Yeah, probably one of the better areas to go would be the lower Wisconsin River. Just take Highway 12 from Madison out to Sauk City. And I would recommend, or if you take Highway 12 out about a mile and a half, 2 miles before you get to the bridge crossing the Wisconsin River, you'll come to Highway Y. If you take a left there on Highway Y and follow it down about 2 miles, you'll cross Highway 78. Then all of a sudden you'll start seeing the river on your right. There's a boat landing there on Highway Y. That whole area in there is good rock bottom, a lot of rock bars, very good for wading too. You just got to, you know, watch your water levels. But basically, water levels have been pretty normal or even low, and you don't have too much trouble. But usually, you know, I'm wading, you know, when by the time we get into May or June, just in a pair of tennis shoes and not even putting on waders.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
But it's, there's a lot of good areas in there. I mean, you can go anywhere from Sauk City out to Spring Green, Lone Rock. Okay. You can find the Highway 23 bridge in Spring Green is a good area right around there.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're a fly fisherman or a spin fisherman, but
why?
You know, okay, fly. These are all going to be good areas, and you can find, you know, you'll catch, without using a streamer, you probably aren't going to catch too many walleyes, but you'll find your smallmouth will come to a fly. And the average size right now is kind of in that 14 to 18 inch. We used to have a lot of fish up over 20, but I haven't been getting too many of those. But there's plenty of fish, and they're very active. And right now, I'd suggest working on areas that have either a dark or a mud bottom. It warms up that bottom a little quicker and gets the bugs and the hatches moving.
Okay, thank you very much, Gary.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Bill emailed us and wonders if you have any advice on picking out a resort or a fishing guide in Boulder Junction area, or just in Wisconsin in general. It seems there's a whole bunch to pick from.
I got a real good one in Boulder Junction. Matter of fact, used to live in Madison and lived with me when he was younger, Jimmy Weston. He's from the Maple Bluff area, and he's been up in Boulder Junction now, I think, for probably going on 30 years, but it's just W-E-S-T-O-N. It'll be listed in the phone book there. He lives on Big Muskellon Lake. He's an excellent fisherman. He'll fish walleyes, muskies, smallmouth, anything you want to fish for. But just look Jim up in the phone book, and he's a very good guide. If you want to go in the Minocqua area, Russ Smith and his son Jake are excellent guides. You know, those are two that I would really recommend highly. Or you can also go, Tommy Swanson is out of Boulder Junction, and Tommy's a great guy. Just got it. He's, I think, 2 years ago got put in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. Russ Smith just got put in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame this past year. But those are good people to check up on.
All right, there we go. And Jacob in Colfax, hello to you.
Hi. I was calling to ask a question about the Nelson Backwaters area of the Mississippi. I'm going to be down there, either next week or towards the end of the month with my sister for birding, but we'll be doing it on the water, so I'm hoping to get some fishing in. And I was just wondering what that area is really good for in terms of fishing, like the northerns or the panfish or...
Yeah, with the Mississippi River, you're going to find a potpourri of about everything. And what area are you going to be at?
The Nelson Backwaters.
Where about? Yep. What's the closest town to there? I'm just trying to think what dam pool you would be near. But anyway, most of your backwaters, you know, if you're going to be dealing with backwaters, if you're going to be fishing from shore, I would concentrate there. You're going to be catching a lot of panfish. You'll catch some northern pike. You'll catch some bass. You can get by without using any live bait. I recommend using just a lot of the new power baits, the new plastics. All of those will work right now. And go with the 8-10-pound test line, on a spinning rod and reel, 6-foot rod, medium action, and you should do okay. If you stay down, if you're going to end up just catching panfish, I'd recommend maybe going down to 4 or 6-pound test. But if you're getting northerns or bass in there, go with something a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
But you should have some, if you're going to, I would just, any town you go to, talk to the bait shops. That's the first thing, go into it. And bait shops themselves are unique little places. And,
yeah,
they all have a unique little smell, and there's something to them. But I would go and just, these people want you to catch fish. That's why they're selling bait. So, try and, talk to the local people and get as much info as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, those of us who are in the Madison area had a chance to see a few muskie recently at the Vilas Park Zoo. Did you get over there for that, Gary?
Yeah, that's an annual affair. I've been taking pictures over there for years, and that's, people think it's really it's actually a mock spawn. Those fish are just that's what they should be doing right there, even though there isn't any real natural reproduction in our Madison chain, and not many people realize that. Mostly all is done by stocking. You got the Yahara Fishing Club. You got the Capital City Chapter of Muskies, Inc. These people are taking the money from their chapter, and the Muskies, Inc., the Capital City Chapter of Muskies, Inc., has their largest fundraiser, matter of fact, tomorrow. And it's at the old Park Ponderosa. It's a 1500 club in McFarland. They have James Lindner, who is going to be their top speaker. It's $12 at the door to get in. And James, a good friend of mine, he'll give a great talk. And you could probably learn about as much about muskie fishing, because that's what he's going to be talking about. But I would really recommend going there. And people don't realize that we have as good fishing in the Madison chain of lakes as we do anywhere in the whole state, or probably in the Midwest. People don't realize because it's an urban area, but we have fantastic fishing here. The DNR has just done a great job. And every year, the DNR does a comprehensive survey on one of the different Madison Lake chains.
And we're going to tell you about those surveys after we take a quick look at the news. We'll be back with Gary Engberg in just a couple of minutes here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. Well, just like the plants, the birds, and the people, Wisconsin's fish have noticed the early and rapid warm-up, and then it's gone cold again, and then warm again. I don't know what that means for fishing this year. Larry Mueller here. Gary Engberg knows, though. He's a professional guide, angler, and outdoor writer. Lots of experience fishing for a variety of species in a lot of different areas of Wisconsin. And whether you're just getting started fishing or you've been fishing your whole life, Gary has some great advice to share. Planning a fishing trip and need some advice, perhaps? He can answer those questions when you call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. You can leave a question, a comment, or share a fishing photo. I'd love to see some fish photos. Like the page while you're there, and we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Talking fishing, spring fishing season. Gary Engberg, professional angler and fishing guide. He's an avid conservationist and sportsman, advocates for getting kids involved in the outdoors. He's got a blog at GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And again, his Engberg is spelled E-N-G-B-E-R-G. So Engberg, GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. Great to have him with us. And certainly, if you have questions, I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page, post there at the Larry Mueller Show, and certainly love to see any fishing pictures you've got. We had a listener who emailed in, wondered about technique for catching crappies. He seems to, he loses them off the hook. They get off the hook too easy.
Well, they do call crappies paper mouths for one reason, because they do have a real soft mouth.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, I would, a lot of times, you know, people go to the trouble of really trying to set a hook. And a lot of times, if you have a relative, if you reel up your slack line, a lot of times the fish are going to hook themselves.
Yeah.
And I would recommend, you know, crappies, you're probably going to be keeping most of them. Other fish, if I'm using live bait, I would go to a circle hook, because then you really don't have to set the hook at all. You just keep reeling, and that circle hook will always catch your fish in the corner of the mouth. But as far as crappie fishing, I would, you know, right now these crappies have been in and out. Ideally, a crappie, you know, they should be spawning. They look for back bays, quiet, calm water, relatively shallow, dark bottom. They love to have wood. Crappies love wood. And what happens, you know, so many piers now have switched to metal. If you can find a place where they have piers that are still wooden, this gets the food chain moving too, because you get bugs. And also too, when you have that wood, it will absorb sunlight and a little bit of warmth.
Yeah.
And a degree or two to a fish is a tremendous amount. It's like 10 degrees to a human. But, you know, I would try and look for those type of areas. You know, a nice sunny day, you don't have to get out early, and try and find the warmest spot. You know, the warmest shoreline that gets the most sun, because that's going to warm up quicker. And I recommend using, you know, you can get by now without ever using live bait. Use plastics, some of the little plastics and wedges they make, these little plastic tails. Or an ice fishing jig and a spike or a waxy seems to work real good underneath the float, and make long casts. I would go to 4-pound test, and I would make sure that you're not going in too tight. Don't come blasting into a bay and then turn your motor off. Go in stealthily, use your electric motor, and make long casts. That's why I say use a 7, 7.5-foot rod, so you're not spooking the fish.
Dave in Bristol, hello.
Yeah, hi, guys. Great show.
Morning.
Hey,
thank you.
Just got a question. You know, somebody gave me some old smelt fishing stuff. And do they smelt fish in the lake?
Lake Michigan? Do they smelt fish in Lake Michigan?
Most of it is done by netting. You know, I don't know. You know, you net or a seine is what most people do, and they still do in Lake Michigan. I mean, it just depends on what the population is. You know, smelt population, it goes up and down. And you know, we grew up on. On the shores of Lake Michigan, you know, we used to go out smelt, and you'd bring a scissors with and have a campfire and cut off the heads, and you'd be eating them real soon.
Yeah, terrific.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Dave in Madison, hi.
Hi, I have a question for you. Great show.
Thank you.
My son's birthday is always in middle April. He loves to lake fish off of boat. You know, last year we took him up to Sturgeon and pretty much got skunked because it was too early. And so this weekend we were thinking about having this weekend or next weekend up in the Minocqua area in some of the lakes up there. And I was just wondering if, given this weather pattern, if that's a good idea or should we just put it off?
Well, We've had, like we said, in the 20s, Larry and I were talking, yeah. We've had in the 20s here the last few nights. Now, you're going to, you know, I haven't talked to anyone in the last day or two in, you know, in the Minocqua area, but, you know, it's pretty chilly up there. I would imagine it was probably 15 or 20 last night. The forecast, I think, for the weekend is it's going to warm up, but I think there's a chance of some rain. But I would check my forecast. If it's going to be cold or there's a cold front coming in, I would wait till another weekend. You want to have more steady, consistent weather, you know, and that's what we kind of need right now. We need things to warm up, and especially in northern Wisconsin, you know, you might be a little bit early yet for the crappies.
All right. Thank you very much.
Surely. Yeah, but you can go to my website and ask me anytime. And, you know, I talk to people constantly around the state and the Midwest, and I can help you out and tell you when things, you know, are starting to go.
And that's GaryEngbergOutdoors.com.
Yep. Yeah. Send me an email and I'll answer it.
Mike in Plover, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, Mike.
Program.
Thank you.
I grew up over outside of Marathon City in a little town called Brick Falls. And there's the Rip River flows through there. And I was wondering if your host knows anything about fishing up there these days.
Now, this is the Red River?
Rip, R-I-B.
Oh, the Rib River?
Yeah.
No, I haven't fished that myself.
I grew up fishing on that river. I love that river.
What do you catch mostly? What type of fishing is it?
Catch a lot of crappie. I've caught some pretty good-sized walleyes out of there, too, actually.
Uh-huh. What does it run into? What body of water?
It runs into Lake Wausau. Runs down through Marathon City and then over to, like, the west side of Lake Wausau.
Mm-hmm. I have some friends who fish that area between Stevens Point and Wausau, and they fish, Dubay and some of the lakes there, and they do very, very well on some fish. There's some big muskies, big walleyes, good fishing.
Yeah, my dad used to show me northern and hung around up there all the time.
Huge ones.
Yeah, big ones. Especially when you're a little kid, you know, you see them, they're just so big, you know?
They're, yeah, sometimes as big as you are.
They always look bigger in the water.
Yeah, they do. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way. We've got open lines to get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. And, Gary, we had someone call in wondering if you would, actually emailed, wondering if you could talk about Fishing Has No Boundary. Wanted to ask about it. It's a group to promote fishing for handicapped people. And I know you've been
involved in that. It's a fantastic group. It was started 20-plus years ago up in Hayward, Wisconsin. And it's expanded now to, I think, probably close to 10, 12 states. And I know that there's 5 or 6 different groups in Wisconsin. There's one in Madison. There's one in Eagle River. There's one in Hayward. There's one in Milwaukee now. My friend David Kuhn started the one recently in Milwaukee. The best thing I would do would be send me an email and I can send you the information, because I just got a pamphlet and they will be signing up, and they're limited to 100 participants, but it's a great facility. They run it out of the Governor Nelson State Park on the north side of Lake Mendota. It's a 2-day affair where, you know, they'll fish, though they probably get on the water not between 9 and 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. They have lunch packed for them. Then they come in later on, and they'll have the fish will be clean, and they'll have a big fish fry with entertainment, and then they'll go out Sunday for half a day with a packed lunch, too. The National Guard's there helping everyone get into the boat. There's a lot of the telephone pioneers help, the different fishing clubs, the O'Hara Fishing Club. It's a really good facility opportunity for disabled people who don't get a chance to get out in the water that much, and this is a very, very good, you know, group of people. And just like I said, send me an email.
Ali emailed and wonders, is there a website where we can go throughout the year to see what's currently biting and where that would be?
I would recommend just going to the DNR website now, and that I think it's dnr.gov.wisconsin or...
Yeah, I think...
That's close, because they just changed their web page.
They got a beautiful new page.
Yeah, it's a real new, nice new website. They have videos on it, very, very proactive. And I would go on and look there, because there's an outdoor report that they put out every Thursday. And that gives you a pretty good idea. They break it down into areas of the state, and they give you a pretty good idea what's biting. And again, you know, contact me or look on my website, because I'll have some fishing reports up.
Tom emailed and said, I have had a great early trout season. caught a beautiful 18-inch brown in Token Creek in the Madison area. I wish I had a photo to send, but it's in my cell. DNR has done a great job improving that creek, and it's a nice place to fish in the Madison area. I was recently up in Rusk County and had some great success there as well. Just want to put in a plug for the great trout fishing we have in Wisconsin, and you and I were talking about that.
We were just talking about that. I had a friend, Len Harris, from out by the western part of the state in the Driftless area, sent me an email. He was out with a friend who caught a 31.5-inch brown trout in a stream 30 miles southwest of Madison. So, and they, you know, they've also, I know, caught 27s and 28s. These are German browns. And
these are streams you could jump across.
A lot of them you could. Yeah. You know, you could really, they're only a few feet across, and they might get wider. But a lot of these areas, like Trout Unlimited, has put in lunker structures and done a lot of, you know, bank and shoreline work. And you don't have to go that far either to catch some nice trout.
No, absolutely not. Linda in Kenosha, let's go to you now. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I fish with my 7-year-old grandson, and we recently took a class, pan fishing class from the DNR at Bong Park with Reed Urban. And we were wondering if there is any local spots for pan fishing in southeastern Wisconsin. You know, some hot spots.
The best thing, again, I would check the DNR website, because the one thing that the DNR has done, you have a lot of piers have been put in on a lot of lakes. There's a lot more, you know, accessibility for people who don't have boats and have to fish from shore. And look at, you know, a lot of these different lakes, you know, they'll have piers and facilities they've built for handicapped people, but also for children and for other adults who don't have a boat. And just look on that DNR website, and I think you can find something there. And if you have trouble, like I said, you know, get a hold of me, and I can find you some lakes down there. What town do you live in?
We live in Kenosha.
Okay, you live in Kenosha.
Yeah.
I'm
sorry. When we were at Bong, we caught some bass early this month. I mean, later last month. And he's so excited to catch bass, but I'm still kind of keeping him, you know, kind of in the pan fishing.
Well, just I'll tell you, after a while, they get happy just to catch any fish and have something tugging on the line, and that's the most important thing. Instead of, you know, picking out a species, you know, a specific species you're going to be fishing for, you know, just find action, and I think that's what the kids are, you know, get more excited about.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Craig wonders, what is included when you hire a fishing guide? What do you expect from that?
Well, you hope you catch a couple fish.
Yeah.
Good conversation.
Absolutely.
What you should probably get is here's a brochure from our guide association, and we have some excellent fishermen in the area. But you're going to get usually 7 to 8 hours on the water at least. Now, this is on a full day. They're going to supply all your equipment, all your bait. Depending on your guide, you might have to bring your own sandwich. Sometimes you're going to bring your sandwich and drinks themselves. And after that, I mean, just about the only thing I think you have to make sure that you pay for is your fishing license, and make sure that that's valid. All the equipment and your bait and everything else should be taken care of your guide. And if the fish are biting, it ends up being a wonderful day. And if it's a slow day, you end up having a lot of wonderful conversation.
It's really a lot of fun.
You get guys who've been guiding for their whole lives, and that's what their profession is, I mean, as an example, my friend Russ Smith of Minocqua just got in the Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame. I can go out in a boat with Russ and not even catch a fish and have a wonderful day.
Oh, yeah.
And people say that, and they go, oh, yeah, right, and you have a lot of fun. But, you know, you do, and especially when you have people that, you know, talk and have good stories.
Yeah.
There's always good fishing stories.
I had the pleasure with my dad. My dad and I went fishing with Tom Olson, who invented the hog wobbler. And
Moldy's hog wobbler.
Moldy's hog wobbler. And we didn't catch a fish, but man, we had a great time. Stories galore.
Get better as the fishing gets slower.
Yes. Bill and Hurley, your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I had a question about muskie fishing, and I'm a pretty avid muskie fisherman, but I have a problem with when I'm when I catch a fish around 40 inches or bigger. If they're on the hook too long, they tend to be really lethargic after I unhook them, and I try not to take them out of the water because I heard that that can kill them from just the fight. And so I try to keep them in the water all the time and unhook them in the water. But I've noticed that from 40 to and bigger inches that they tend to – they've been dying within an hour. I'm seeing them belly up, you know, across the lake somewhere.
Is this during the warm months of the year?
No, I only muskie fish in October and November.
Okay. You got me on that one because you're doing all the right things by leaving the fish in the water and handling it as little as possible. And the other thing that, you know, that people have to make sure, and a lot of people don't realize, when you are going muskie fishing, you know, a 40-inch fish, you know, you have a chance of maybe even getting a bigger fish than that. You got to have some good tools. You got to have a good, you know, some good cutters. You got to have some good, you know, long needle-nose pliers. And the one thing, too, is that, like, I try and just not handle those fish because if you get the slime off of them, a lot of times you can even see your hand mark on the fish. So,
right, I've noticed that as well. And I have all those tools, too, but I'm not sure if it's that.
I don't know. I mean, you know, like a lot of times, you know, they build up that lactic acid when you're fighting them and playing them. You know, maybe the fish, you know, was played too long but I don't know. A 40-inch fish, if you're keeping it in the water and getting it, you know, those hooks out and getting it back, you know, swimming and aerating it and moving it around to make sure you get some air and some water moving through those gills.
Do you do that? Do you aerate it?
Yes, I do. I keep it in the water and I'll actually have my fishing buddy, whoever it is, whether it's my wife or a friend, you know, run a trolling motor, and I'll hold the fish next to the boat.
Because I mean, if you're talking about water temperature, I mean, we really don't fish muskies that much if it's, you know, 70, 75 or above, you know, and I mean, you're talking about the fall where the temperatures, you know, you're probably dealing with 50 degree water, so I wouldn't think you'd have trouble. It's, I don't know, is it always on the same lake?
Yes, it's always on the same lake. I only fish one body of water because I have great luck on this body of water with walleye and muskie all the time.
Uh-huh.
That's weird.
You got me on that one, but I'll tell you, you know, you could drop an email to the DNR. Mike Staggs is the head of the fisheries department there, or even like Dane County, you could get a hold of Kurt Wilkie here and ask them some questions because these guys are all muskie fishermen too, and if they don't know, I don't know if there is an answer always.
Yeah,
you know, it might just be individual fish, and that's why I was trying to see.
Maybe that lake.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that if I catch a big northern.
How about walleyes?
Walleye, I do great on that lake.
Do you let the bigger ones go? Do they make it? Are they okay?
Yeah, I never have a problem with the walleyes. Actually, I was out shining last week, or this last Friday, and I saw some pretty big hogs out on this lake. A couple of them had to be better than 30 inches.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you stumped us on that one.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. You're doing everything right.
Yeah. I'll wear, a lot of people are wearing gloves now, too, so you don't get cut. But, I mean, if you're keeping that fish in the net and keeping it in the water and you got the right tools, those are your main, you know, main things to worry about.
All right.
But I don't mind getting cut because that's just another fish story.
Thank you much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Dewey in Butternut. Well, there's a good spot. I've caught a few muskie on
there's
Butternut
Lake.
There's
a few on Butternut.
Yeah. Hi there, Dewey.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Well, you got a nice little program going. Hey, that's interesting as heck. But I got some information for Linda down there in Kenosha as far as great place to take the kids and the grandkids and your grandpas and grandmas and everybody. Eagle Lake, they really done a nice job at that lake as far as facilitating it for the fisheries, I guess. You could say along the shoreline and such, and the kids have a wonderful time. You're not going to not catch fish there. That's almost guaranteed. Even if you got some bobber action, that's a nice little lake to and a thrill lake for the kids anyway. You might not take a lot home with you, but it's just fun to watch the kids enjoy themselves on that water. That's Racine County, Eagle Lake again.
That's, thank you very much, and I'll have to remember that, and I'll put that down in my book. But that's, I mean, if anyone else has any suggestions, you know, send them to me or let Larry know, because we always have people looking, you know, places to take the children fishing. And one other thing I'd like to mention is that coming up June 2nd is the O'Hara Fishing Club has their Kids Fishing Day here in Madison. First 350 kids get free rods and reels. It's over.
Wow.
It's at Warner Park on the north side of Madison. I already have it on my website, and it's a great place to take kids because they will catch fish, they will get a rod and reel, and, you know, the most important thing, like I said, is to have something tugging on that line.
Yeah. Hey, Larry, am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Listen, also, she could probably get a hold of the DNR. In Kenosha itself, they have a free fishing day for the kids. I'm glad your guest brought that up.
See, June
2nd. Supply rods. I don't know if they're giving rods away and stuff, but there's a lake, I think, down by Anderson Park, which is kind of on the south side of town there.
There are some DNR areas, too, where they will actually rent out or let you use a rod and reel for the day. And that June 2nd day on the Madison, that's June 2nd is the day where you don't need a fishing license, too. So you can
That's statewide, isn't it?
Statewide. Yeah. You can take your kids fishing and not worry about having to buy a license.
That coincides with this here, with the Kenosha thing there. That's very possible. I remember that quite a bit, too. But she should probably look into that, too. That's a little more local for her, you know, for the grandkids, but... anyway, I appreciate your time. You got a great thing happening there. Larry, nice talking to you, your guest.
Yeah, thank you much.
Dewey, thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I was trying to remember, and I'm blanking now on the age where a kid needs a license, fishing license. That's easy enough to look up. Anybody, we can find that. Pretty much anybody can find that out. I'm just blanking on the age.
I think it's 12.
I think you're right.
I'll tell you, I've been guiding, though, the first thing I asked, I had some people once where I didn't ask them if they all had their licenses, and one of the children was, I think he was 16, and he didn't have a license, and we got stopped by a warden, and they let us go, luckily, but make sure you have a valid license. They expired March 31st.
Yes. I, in fact, just got my...
I always get the patrons
license every year, because then I get the park stickers, and you get all of the stamps, and you get the magazine. Then comes automatically.
You don't have to worry about sending all the stuff in.
You don't have to worry about sending everything in, and for $150-$160 or whatever it was, I forgot now. And it was a really good deal. Well, Gary, heck, it's always a pleasure. And, again, your website, tell us again your website and stuff.
My website is www.GaryEngbergOutdoors, and Engberg is spelled E-N-G-B-E-R-G. There's contact information on there, but also, too, if someone has a pen, you can send me just a straight email to gengberg@GaryEngbergOutdoors.com. And I'll get it, and I might not get back to you today, but I'll get back to you in a couple of days.
I know he will. Gary Engberg, he'll be back and talk with us again. Great to have him along, and thank you for listening. Ken Adams and John Freiberger join us tomorrow here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us.